This is the new LOL podcast, and I am Karen Stewart. My goal is to challenge you, motivate, and encourage you to live your life boldly as a Christian out loud. Do me a favor, if you find anything of value, any motivation, any encouragement, help me spread the word, like this, share it on all your channels, and thanks for listening. Let's get started. You know that I have been and will be challenging you going forward to read the Bible, like for real. And I know that there are people who listen to this broadcast who are on all ranges of the spectrum. Some who read or listen to the Bible every day, all the way to people who read or listen rarely or not at all. And it doesn't matter where you are, but no matter what, you need to step it up. If you never read the Bible, you need to start reading something every day. And if you have some kind of habit or routine, you need to step it up. And I'm not trying to make you into some kind of person who can't have a normal conversation without quoting scripture or singing a hymn or praying in tongues, something like that. If that's your thing, it really is between you and God. What I am challenging you to do is subvert your dominant paradigm. What in the world does that even mean? That's a phrase that I heard some years ago, and I really immediately loved it because I felt so personally connected to it. I rarely share it because I know that whenever you use a word like subvert, it brings a very negative connotation. But here's what it actually means. Subvert is to overthrow something that is established or existing. Dominant means predominant, main, major, chief. And paradigm means a general mental model or framework for anything. I feel like that's like a picture of my life. I've been, you know, flowing through life without a script, I feel like, for my whole life. But what in the world does that have to do with reading the Bible or with your relationship with God, for that matter? Well, most of us have some kind of routine for nearly everything. And we often extend our routine or our method or our structure even to our time and relationship with God. So, for example, let me use my own paradigm for spending time with God. I'm up very early in the morning. I'm a morning person. I normally listen to some kind of rhythmic worship with no words. I journal, I pray, I take communion, I read the Bible, some variation of all those things. And all of those elements have been constants and mainstays for a while now. And without realizing it, I had built a method that when interrupted, it totally interrupted my time with God. For example, I almost always listen to music with noise-canceling headsets. And even when I'm home by myself or in a room by myself, I usually have headsets on to cancel out noise. And then I noticed that when somebody was in the house with me or when I was traveling and could not block out all of the noise, it was like I couldn't even get in the zone and my whole rhythm was off. And it was like I couldn't even connect with God because in my mind, that is the way we did it, me and God. That's the way we connected. And what that meant was if God wanted to speak to me or reveal himself to me when I was in that space, that wasn't going to happen because my rhythm and my routine was interrupted. And we can do that same kind of thing even when we're reading the Bible. Not only this is how we do it, but sometimes we'll add, God would never say that to me, or God couldn't possibly mean that. We have been taught in this cultural age that if we don't like or agree with something, we can just redefine it, right? And we've redefined everything. God himself, Jesus, the living word, all of that completely redefined. We just call it something else. We break it down some other way. We say, yeah, I don't believe God does that. I don't believe God says that. So, for example, like now, a lie is not always a lie. We can just call it an alternative fact. we just present some other definition to present it another way. But the fact is, it's still a lie. I don't care what you call it. And we've even seen and sometimes even done it ourselves with God and with His Word. Most often I hear people say, God would never do that, or God would never ask me to do that. Or how can you call yourself a Christian and think that or do that? And most of the time, the thing that follows the ellipsis, the dot, 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 is a reflection of the cultural or political or ethnic lens that we view the world through. So listen, here's my challenge to you this week. You will notice, I'm sure, that I've not given you any scriptures, and that's because I want to challenge you to read the scriptures for yourself. I know I tell you to do that in almost every episode, although I have no idea if you do it or not, but I'm challenging you this week. Your assignment, since you choose to accept it, read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And let Jesus, the living word, speak for himself. Now, I know it's not printed in red, and I know that it is in the Old Testament, but he is the living word. So ask him, what are you trying to say to me in this? How are you trying to challenge my thinking in this? And let me say this to you. Every time you read the Bible, you should be engaging directly with Jesus. Every time. You need to ask him. And don't be afraid to ask him, what in the world does this have to do with me? What are you trying to say to me? Because I know that for some of us, the only time we read the Bible is when we need some encouragement or answers or help or comfort. That's fine. But Jesus, who is the living word, does not just exist to comfort you. Newsflash. I mean, I'm very grateful that he does that. But at times, he will also challenge you. He will correct you. He will rebuke you. He will even provoke you. And I know that maybe that's not how or the way we want to know him, but let him be who he wants to be, how he wants to be, every time he encounters you. I think maybe at some point later, I'm going to do some kind of episode about some of the things people claim that they're hearing God say, which clearly is not God at all, but that's a whole nother. But for now, just let the Word, who is God, challenge you and show you who he is. Let him show his whole self to you, so that when you do reflect him and represent him, you can do it honestly and with purity. That is the only representation of him that the world needs anyway. Nobody needs the fake Jesus that everybody's making up right now. Nobody needs him. But once you make that decision, that commitment to reflect him and represent him with honesty and purity, then that's when, family, I want you to do that. And I want you to do it boldly. No hiding out. I want you to do it out loud.